Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Lord, we believe that you're coming back. And it could be any time now. And so we anticipate it. We cannot wait for that day where those who are dead in Christ will rise first and be caught up with you in the clouds. And then those of us who are alive after that, caught up with you in the clouds as well. And it will happen in a twinkling of an eye. Lord, help us to be ready. Now as we turn to your word is life. God, I pray that you will transform us by the power of your word, setting our affections on the things that are dear to your heart. May you be glorified and honored through the preaching of your word in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen and amen and amen. Life happens. And some things in life, when they happen, they change the trajectory of your life. They change the way you begin to live. I know you've probably come across a story, and maybe this is your story, that at some point, people go to a hospital to do a health check. They just want to know how they're doing physically. And then they meet the doctor, they do the health check. And after that, they have to receive the results. So they meet with the doctor again. They sit across from the doctor at the table and he begins to break it down for them. Well, these are the results. And this is what they say. And for some people, what they hear from the doctor changes how they begin to live from that point on. It's a life-defining moment. Some have to change the way they feed. They have to go on a certain kind of diet. There are things they have to avoid. You begin to pick up new habits, maybe taking on, exercising and doing gym work, and so that you can arrest what could be a situation that could end your life. Some people have to begin to pay attention to their mental health because it's dragging their body down. And if they don't pay attention, it could spell the end of their lives. The Bible tells us that Jesus is coming back one day. And in light of the knowledge that Jesus is coming back one day, there is an urgency that we must live with every day. It must affect the way we live. Because one day, every single one of us will stand before Jesus Christ, the eternal judge. And we will give an account for every second and every minute. And every word and every thought. And because we know that day is coming, we begin to realign our lives right now. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 to 11, for we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we've done in this earthly body. Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, the fact that we will account for what we've done on this side of heaven, because we understand that fearful responsibility, we work hard on this side of heaven to persuade others. So not only do we begin to get our lives in line by walking obediently before God, Paul writing here said, because we know the day of judgment is coming, we begin to persuade others. In other words, we begin to tell people that there is a God in heaven who loves you, and he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for you so that you will be saved from your sin. Because we know that day is coming, we are compelled by his love and the urgency of the day to begin to tell people about Jesus. And friends, heaven's gate, starting tomorrow throughout the week, is a creative production and an opportunity to persuade people to turn away from sin and surrender their lives to Jesus. It is an opportunity to persuade people to be reconciled to God. And we do this because we know ultimately there are only two destinies: heaven and hell. Heaven is that place where everyone that surrendered their lives to Jesus, whose names are written in that book of life, will be with him eternally. It is a place of eternal bliss with Jesus forever. Hell is the place that has been reserved for the devil, his demons, and everyone that rejected Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of the world. There are only two destinies. There is no purgatory. It is only heaven and hell. And the reason we persuade people to surrender their lives to Jesus is because God wants every single one of us to be saved. And that is why Jesus is holding back his return. But one day it will happen in the twinkling of an eye. You think we have breaking news today? There'll be breaking news on that day. TikTok will go crazy. I'm telling you, X will go crazy. Instagram will be full of pictures of something happening in the clouds. If you're in a plane and the pilot is born again, he will go. If you're on a border, that motorcycle, and the border man is born again, he will go. You'll be talking to your family member, and in one second you're speaking to them, and in the very next second they've disappeared from your sight. Jesus is coming back. Therefore, we persuade people, be reconciled to God, turn away from your sin. Make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. And here at Watoto Church, we have a fiery passion. We have a consuming desire to see people surrender their lives to Jesus. That is why we go into the schools and we preach the gospel through Shift. And we've seen literally tens of thousands of young people say yes to Jesus Christ. That is why our team at Power FM every year goes to the prisons preaching the gospel. They were there a couple of weeks back, 180 in Gulu said yes to Jesus. That is why our children's choir travels around the world, not only sharing the vision of God here at Watoto Church as vulnerable lives are transformed by the power of his love, but they also give people the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. And just last year alone, over 10,000 people said yes to Jesus Christ. That is our burning passion here at Watoto Church. It is to see people say yes to Jesus. And that burning passion is because we are concerned about the destiny of your soul. And this concern about the destiny of the souls of men is what we call a heart of compassion for the lost. Thing about a heart of compassion for the lost is this: it's not natural to us. It is something we must intentionally nurture, something we must intentionally build into the fabric of our Christian journey. Jesus had a compassion for the lost. His heart was that of compassion for the lost. I want us to go to Matthew chapter 9 and from verse 35 to 38. That's what we're going to read. And in Matthew chapter 9, up to this point, Jesus has been carrying on with his ministry. 9 different miracles are recorded in his ministry at this point. And the Bible tells us in Matthew 9, 35 to 38 that Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." When Jesus says these words, you can hear the heaviness in his voice, because the religious leaders at this time had abandoned in many ways their responsibility to not only teach people about the Lord, but inspire them to pursue a personal relationship with him. And instead of helping people pursue God, they burdened them with more laws, and they brought into the whole mix their traditions. And so people had lost sight of what it truly meant to pursue a relationship with God. And in the process, many were discouraged, had walked away from God, and many remained stubborn and didn't even want to hear anything about it. They were lost. And this broke Jesus' heart. I want us to go to Matthew chapter 23. And I want you to see the heaviness in Jesus' heart at this situation. We're going to read from verse 1 to 4, then verse 13 to 15. Jesus was mad at the religious leaders. This is what he said to them. Jesus said to the crowds and his disciples, "The teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. So practice and obey whatever they tell you, but do not follow their example. For they don't practice what they preach. They crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You won't go in yourselves, and you don't let others enter either. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cross land and sea to make one convert, and then you turn that person into twice the child of hell you yourselves are." His heart was broken at what the religious leaders were doing. And it's still happening today. We hear so many stories of church leaders and influential Christians who are manipulating other believers, taking advantage of them, confusing them by what they teach and how they live. And it has discouraged many people, because they watch what the leader says and how they live, and the two don't come together, therefore they don't know what to believe. But there's also so many Christians living compromising lives of sin that discourage people who want to come to Jesus. Because when they watch their lives, they say, "Listen, there is no difference between you and I." And it compromises the power of the message that we preach. And instead of helping people run to Jesus, we get in the way. And this breaks the heart of Jesus. And so in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus highlighted that, listen, the harvest is plentiful. And the harvest, really, Jesus is giving a context of the last days when he will return to take home those who are his own, those who have said yes to him, those who have surrendered their lives to him. And Jesus is saying, even now, between now and that day I will return, the harvest is plentiful. There is still so many people who haven't said yes to Jesus. There is still so many people who are lost. And friends, these people are all around us. In our families, we have so many people that are not born again. Our parents, our siblings, our relatives, our cousins, our nephews, our nieces, our in-laws, many who aren't saved. At our places of work, in our universities, in our hostels, in our secondary schools, our primary schools, in our communities. People who are far from Jesus. Jesus says the harvest is plentiful. But you know what? There is no problem with the harvest. Jesus says the workers are few. You know who the workers are? The workers are the people who prepare for the harvest. They're the people who bring in the harvest. The workers are the people who preserve the harvest so that it does not rot and waste away. The workers Jesus is talking about are people who have a heart of compassion for people who are lost and who will do everything in their power to reach people for Jesus Christ. He's saying people with a burning desire, people with that fiery passion, a few. Many people will come to church. Many people will post a scripture on their WhatsApp status. Many people will send a video link. But very few people are willing to sit down and have conversations with people who are far from God and say to them, listen, be reconciled to God. Jesus says those people are few. My prayer is that God will turn that around even here at Watoto Church. Jesus says the workers are few, the laborers are few. I mean, when we go back to Matthew 23, you see Jesus' heart of compassion for the lost. He saw the spiritual state of the people. They were far from God and they were getting even farther, and his heart was broken. In Matthew 23, verse 37 to 39, Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus looked at the people. They were lost, and yet they were stubborn. They rejected not only the message of the kingdom that he preached, and the message that came through the prophets of old. Not only did they reject the message, but they rejected the messengers. They stoned them and they killed them. They wanted nothing to do with God. They were lost, and Jesus saw the stubbornness of their hearts, the hardness of their hearts. He longed to bring them into his kingdom, but because of their stubbornness and rejecting the message, they had said no to God and his heart was broken. Do you hear the longing in the voice of Jesus when he said, how I longed to gather you? Friends, Jesus wants you and I to be like him. He wants you and I to have a heart of compassion for the lost. The question is, what does a heart of compassion look like? A heart of compassion is two things. One, a heart of compassion is a heart that is burdened for the lost. A heart of compassion for the lost is one that is burdened. It is concerned. It is moved. It is disturbed. It is not settled when it sees people who are far from God. Here in the city of Kampala, we have traders who bring in lots of goods. And if you go downtown at some point in the day, there are gentlemen who are taking those goods from one truck that has delivered, and they're taking it to different trucks, and people are going to take them to different shops and places in the city or the country. And there are these guys who carry those burdens. I don't know if you've seen them before, but these guys, they take a really strong position and the burden is set on their backs. Boom. And that burden goes real high. When you're downtown, don't cross their path. They will knock you down. Because that burden is so heavy. It is so heavy. And you know what, friends? God wants us to have a burden for people who are lost. God wants our hearts to be heavy. God wants our hearts to be concerned. But you may be wondering, but Brian, who are the lost? Listen, the lost are people who are spiritually dead. In other words, they're people whose eyes and minds and hearts have been blinded to the fact that God in heaven loves them and that he sent Jesus, his son, to die for them. Their hearts have been blinded to the fact that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and if they trust him, they'll receive God's free gift of salvation. That is who the lost are, and God wants our hearts to be burdened. You see, Paul writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3 to 4 described it. He said, if the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. In other words, people who are going to hell because of rejecting Jesus. Then he says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God, the one who came in the flesh to lay down his life so that the power of sin and death may be broken, so that one day we would spend eternity with him. They are unable to recognize God's love for them through Jesus Christ, and therefore they are lost in sin. And the Bible is teaching us here from the example of Jesus, our hearts need to be burdened for people like that. Our hearts need to be moved. We can no longer continue to be indignant. We can no longer continue to be indifferent, just going on about life as if everything is okay, when we are surrounded with people whose destiny is hell. Jesus's heart of compassion is what caused him to weep over the city of Jerusalem. Our hearts burdened and moved by our family members who are far from God. Is mom born again? Is dad born again? Is your brother born again? Is your sister born again? Is your spouse born again? Are your children born again? Is your heart moved by your next door neighbor who is not born again? Is your heart burdened for your hostel mate at the university whose life is wasting away? Is your heart burdened when you see a prostitute on the streets of Kampala? Is your heart burdened by those thieves in the community? By rowdy youth on drugs and alcohol? Is your heart burdened by the youth in the schools who are being bombarded by people with ill intentions, leading them straight to hell? Is your heart burdened? Is your heart burdened when you see pastors or religious leaders who are distracting people from Jesus? And maybe you have a family member attending one of these churches or attending one of these fellowships, and you see them drifting away from Jesus. Is your heart burdened? Friends, Jesus wants you and I to have a heart of compassion for the lost. Never be settled when you know they aren't saved. Your boss at work, your teammates in the office, the people that report to you. Or finally, a heart of compassion is not only one that is burdened and concerned and moved, but a heart of compassion for the lost is one that is moved to reach the lost. You see, a heart of compassion for the lost will move you to do something to help people find their way to Jesus Christ and be reconciled to God. And we take the example of Jesus. Jesus preached the message of the kingdom. He came to seek and save that which was lost. He did this for crowds, but he also did it for individuals. Yes, he taught the crowds, but remember in John chapter 4, how he met the woman at the well. and he struck up a conversation with her. Not only did she come to faith in Jesus, her entire town came to faith in Jesus as well. Do you remember in Luke when Jesus makes his way to the house of Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a known thief and a tax collector who was taking more than he deserved. And that day when Jesus came to his house, he watched the master, Jesus known as a friend of sinners. And he watched him and something moved in his heart. And he came out and said, I've been stealing from the people, but I'm going to give back the things that I've stolen. And I'm going to give it back in multiples. Jesus said, today salvation has come to his house. Jesus preached and he taught and he interacted. He built relationships with one reason, to bring them to God the Father. But Jesus not only preached, Jesus laid down his life. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 tells us, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus took it to a whole new level. He laid down his life. And you know why? Because he loves you. The Bible says there is no greater love than this, than for a man to lay down his life for his friends. And I want you to know, Jesus didn't die for a few. Jesus died for every single one of us. Jesus died for the whole world, because his passion is for you and for me to be saved from our sin and to begin to walk in relationship with God our Father. And like Jesus, this compassion for the lost must move us to action. We must begin to do something. Because people are lost and they're headed straight to hell. So what can we begin to do? Number one, let us pray. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9 verse 38, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. We can begin to pray, starting with yourself and myself, that God will continue to birth in us and revive and stir up our heart of compassion for the lost. Let us pray that we will never be settled. Let us pray that we'll be like workers who are going out into the harvest field and bringing in the harvest and conserving the harvest. That God will give us that burden and that passion. May Watoto Church be a soul-winning church in Jesus' name. But not only do we pray that we'll be those workers and that many more workers in the cities and the nations will continue to be raised by the Lord, but we begin to pray for those who are lost around us. I pray that every time when you get down on your knees to pray, that it'll be so much bigger than me, myself, and I, that you begin to be consumed by this desire to see people in your family and around you saved, that you begin to pray, God, give me opportunities this week so that I will preach the gospel. You begin to pray, Lord, open up doors for me, for my neighbor. Open up doors with my team leader. Open up doors for my family member. Even those who want nothing to hear from me, open up doors. You begin to pray. You mention them name by name and you pray every single day. God is so faithful that one day that door will open for you and they will say yes to Jesus Christ. We begin to pray, make it a matter of prayer. And this whole week we've been praying and we're continuing to pray all the way to the 18th of May. 21 days of prayer, and we want to see God bring 15,000 to the Lord through heaven's gates. We are praying and we're believing God. But the other thing we can do after praying is we need to speak up. We need to open up our mouths and preach the gospel. It is great to pray, but every single one of us has a responsibility to preach the gospel. Help me, turn to your neighbor, tell him you can no longer be silent. You can no longer be silent. We are not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God that saves those who believe. What is the gospel? It is that message that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And you are the greatest evidence of the gospel, because you begin to tell him, this is who I was. This is where God found me. I surrendered my heart to Jesus. He turned my life around and my name is written in that book of life. One day I know that when he comes back, I will be with him. You begin to share your story and then you plead with them, be reconciled to God, and you give them an opportunity to come to Jesus. We must pray. We must preach the gospel. But finally, we must disciple believers. We must make disciples. Jesus said in Matthew 28, 19 to 20, therefore go and make disciples. In other words, go and help those who've come to faith in me. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. In other words, we begin to help them get into God's word and growing their relationship with him as they understand different things like prayer and faith and compassion and generosity and holiness and purity. We begin to teach them these things, and it's not in a class only. It is a life on life journey where you're committed to walk this long hard road until Christ is formed in them. We've been preparing and praying concerning heaven's gates and hell's flames. And here at downtown, we made a call. We said we need some people to come alongside us to disciple the people that are going to be assigned to us at downtown, who are going to give their hearts to Jesus next week. And over 140 of you have signed up. And I want to say thank you to you for signing up. And there is hundreds and thousands more across all our celebration campuses who are waiting for tomorrow midday, the first show, when the first set of new believers comes through. They get in touch with them and begin a journey. And I believe that every single one of them will be discipled and none of them will be lost in Jesus' name. And I believe that they'll grow to become fully devoted followers of Jesus. And you know what, friends? I want you to be a part of it. Don't just pray. Preach the gospel and then disciple a new believer. I wonder, is there any believer you're helping to grow? Your journey with Jesus Christ is a resource to somebody else. But do you have somebody that is speaking and nurturing you to become a fully devoted follower of Jesus? We must make disciples. See, discipleship is the work of preserving the harvest. Just like we have a granary where we keep the harvest that we bring in after a long season of farming, of pruning, of doing everything we can, then we bring in the harvest, we place it in the granary so that the pests don't destroy it, so that the floods don't wash it away. In the same way, God wants us to preserve those who are coming in. One of our fiery passions is to disciple you to be a godly transformational leader who is full of the culture and character of Christ that will go into the core of the community and bring about healing and transformation for his glory. What an opportunity we have. 15,000 and more. But that opportunity is not just coming tomorrow and throughout the week. I believe there is a real opportunity right here, right now. You're in this place, you're joining us online and on air, and you've never given your heart to Jesus. I want you to know that Jesus loves you and that he died for you so that you don't have to take the punishment of your sin. He took it in your place. Instead, when you put your faith in him and ask him for mercy, the Bible says he's faithful to forgive us, not of some, but of all our unrighteousness. And then he fills us with his spirit and makes us children of God. And he gives us a brand new life. And we're now born again. The old is gone. The new has come. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, Brian, man, have sinned against God. And I want his mercy. And I want him to save me. And I want to surrender my life to him. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off any longer. Today is your day. Shall we bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment? With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. Say, that's me, Brian. I need to give my heart to Jesus. I want to be born again. Whether you're seated upstairs or downstairs in the overflow here in person, here's what I want you to do. You say, that's me. Would you lift up your hand to Jesus? Say, that's me. That's me, Lord. I surrender my life to you. Just lift up your hand to him. You're not lifting it to any of us. You're lifting it to Jesus. Jesus is the only one who saves. Lift up your hand to him. Say, Lord, here I am. Upstairs, downstairs. Say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus. Seize that hand. God richly bless you. Would you lift up your hands? Say, Lord, here I am. Thank you, my brother. God richly bless you. Saying, Lord, here I am. Here's my heart. Here's my life. Forgive me. For I've sinned against you, but I'm in need of your mercy. I want to be a child of God. I want to have a relationship with you. He will do it right now. Upstairs, downstairs, in the overflow. You're joining us online. You say, that's me, Lord. I give my heart to you. Here's what I want you to do. Go into the chat section. Lift up an emoji of a hand and type, I give my life to Jesus. Do it right now. Jesus loves you. Behold, he stands at the door of your heart. He's knocking. Open up your heart and let him in. You're joining us on air. You're in that room. You're at your place of work. You're in that car. And you know you need to give your heart to Jesus today. Do it right now, would you? In that room, you can lift up your hand. Jesus is right there with you. Surrender your life to him. Maybe you're a hearing person. And you want to recommit your life to Jesus because you know, yes, at one point I was living for the Lord, but I walked away from him. And I've allowed sin back into my life, but I cannot go on the way that I'm living. I want to recommit my life to Jesus. Would you lift up your hand as well? Jesus will never push you away. Recommit your life to him in this moment, right here, right now. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Thank you. Jesus sees those hands going up. Wow. Thank you. Jesus sees those hands upstairs, downstairs in the overflow. My brother, my sister, would you recommit your life to the Lord? Would you do it right now online? Would you lift up an emoji of a hand in the chat section and type, I recommit my life to Jesus. Do it right now. On air, you want to make a decision to recommit your life to Jesus? Do it right now. Do it right now. This is the very last call. Is there anybody else saying, Lord, I trust you with my life. I surrender my life to you as my Savior and my Lord. Lift up your hand. You're recommitting your life as well. Thank you for lifting up your hand. Would you keep that hand lifted up to Jesus? Now I want you to pray this prayer after me. Mean every word you're saying from the bottom of your heart. And as you pray this prayer, you're going to make your personal commitment of faith to Jesus. Church, let's all pray together. And let's encourage everybody who is making this commitment to Jesus. Come on, as loud as you can. Let's say together, dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I recognize that I am a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus, you are the only Savior. Today, I am asking you to forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean in your precious blood. Give me a brand new life. Jesus, I now receive you as my Lord and my Savior. And from this day, I believe that I'm born again, that I'm a child of God. I will live for you and I will follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. And everybody says amen and amen. Come on, let's celebrate every miracle of salvation in Jesus' name. Amazing.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey,